Fed Talks is a weekly podcast featuring federal program staff from the Georgia Department of Education and Georgia's public schools.
For many individuals, the purpose of federally funded programs is unknown.
Through its Fed Talks series, the Georgia Department of Education is sharing more information on the ways Georgians are leveraging federal funds to serve Georgia students and Georgia schools.
This is John White.
And this is Craig Gears.
And this is Fed Talks with John and Craig. Welcome back, everyone. We've been talking with Nate Schultz, our program manager for Student Support and Academic Enrichment Grant here at the department. This is John White and Craig Gear. And Nate, last time in our first session, we ended talking a little bit about where these funds came from and how they get down to the schools. Why don't you give us an idea of how the funds actually work for this grant, starting, if you don't mind, for some of us, where they originated from and then how they actually get down into the schools.
So for its first year, which this is the first year that states have received funding, Congress appropriated approximately $400 million for the first year. Of that, Georgia receives approximately $13 million. So we receive our grant award directly from US Ed. And then from there, the Georgia Department of Education awards out to all school districts their Title IV A allocation, and that is based upon last year's, their school district's prior year Title I grant award, proportionately based upon how much they received for Title I funding.
We might need to break that down just a little bit. So first of all, you're saying that all school districts in the state got a Title IV grant, right?
Yes.
All school districts. But did all schools get that money, or is this just the school districts right here?
So the money goes to the districts.
Okay, that's a good distinction.
I do know that this particular year they gave states the option of making this a competitive grant. So I know we spoke to the fact that we in turn in Georgia turn around and allocate the money to our school districts through a formula, but some states are doing it as a competition.
So the school districts in Georgia didn't need to do anything to really get this grant this year.
That's a good question. What do they need to do to apply for this?
Well, they do have to apply for or submit an application. The Title IV-A funds were included as part of their consolidated application, which they submit to include all federal programs. So Title IV-A funds were part of that process that the school districts are required to do. And then they also have to submit a budget specifically describing how they intend to use their Title IV-A funds. So the budgets provide a little bit more detail and allow the state then to review the intended purposes and some of those needs that they identified as they plan to use these Title IV-A funds in the first year.
And all this happened for our districts over this past summer, basically. So like you said, I think this one was included in with the consolidated application with the other grants. So things are up and running. Applications are approved?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And they have received their funds. At this point, looking forward to seeing how some of the programs and activities are operating with the use of the new Title IV-A funds.
That's an interesting question, because as you've been thinking about, the districts have been using their funds, right? And I know that we do want to spend some more time talking about some of the actual supports and services that have happened, but can you give me just a quick idea? What are some of the things people are spending the money on right now?
Just a quick thumbnail sketch with the three focus areas for this grant. The first one is to provide well-rounded educational opportunities. We've been seeing a lot of focus on STEM, advanced placement or AP courses to improve access to those rigorous courses, as well as the examination that is part of the AP course. We've also seen districts identify needs for increased services and supports for music and art and enhancing their art programs,
right.
Music programs. And you know, I think really allowing students increased exposure to those areas as well. The second area, which is to create safe and healthy learning environments. We've seen districts use these funds to provide the positive behavior intervention systems to really improve behavior in schools, some social emotional learning initiatives and supports, as well as the mental health services in schools.
What about nutrition? Is that considered something that they could
use
these funds?
Yes, definitely.
Healthy lifestyle.
Right. So nutrition, physical activity, and using the funds to either purchase supplies or provide training and professional development for staff to build their capacity so that they're incorporating more health awareness in their programming.
So that actually brings up an interesting thought I had. So we talk a lot about stakeholders. Mm-hmm. Stakeholders are people who have an interest in the grant and the purposes of the grant and being a part of the grant. So share with us a little bit, in what ways are we seeing stakeholders within districts helping to support some of the things that you've just talked about, some of those supports and services under the grant?
Really throughout the entire process, receiving, using, and implementing these funds, we see a key role for stakeholders to be involved in that process.
Who are some stakeholders? Because I think we may have some listening who'd like to know.
Right, because they may not know their stakeholder.
Yeah, and stakeholders, the law actually provides us with specific examples of teachers, principals, parents, family members, community organizations, local agency representatives. They also give the example of specific agencies that may be involved with this particular grant, such as juvenile agencies, mental health agencies, to provide the input in those specific areas.
Could they also be used as stakeholders to actually implement part of the grant? Like, I'm thinking to myself just off the top of my head that a local police agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, since safety is a big factor in this grant, could they not be considered a stakeholder who actually helps implement some of the grant supports and services? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe come into the schools or districts and do training.
Or even a local nutritionist who could come in and provide training or even classes for kids. Those are stakeholders, right?
Right. And I think because of the grant being somewhat new and unfamiliar, these agencies, law enforcement, nutrition, are the experts in the area and have been doing this work for many years. So it would be beneficial for the school districts to partner with them and coordinate with them to improve the services and activities that they are implementing.
So if I am one of these organizations who happens to be listening to our podcast, who would they go to, or how would they even get a foot in the door as far as being involved in some of the discussions?
That's a good question. I mentioned that all districts receive these funds, so certainly the first place that they could probably start would be at the district central office with the board, and just to reach out and offer that input and opportunity to work together.
Now, we have requested that each district identify somebody who kind of oversees this grant. Is that true?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
So maybe they could start by asking who that person is.
So you call the central office.
Right. So this coordination or this collaboration, it would probably include like coming to meetings, maybe filling out surveys and answering questions. Is that what some of these stakeholders would probably participate in?
Yeah, and it really should be more than that. It should be ongoing throughout the life of the grant program. So beyond just the initial consultation, but these stakeholders can provide input on the activities that will be implemented. And then, Craig, as you mentioned, they could be hand-in-hand involved in actually implementing activities as the experts in their various fields. But then also, as the school year wraps up, they should be part of that conversation in evaluating and reflecting back upon the successes and the effectiveness of the past year, and revisiting any decisions in terms of continuously improving their program for the upcoming school year. And really partnering in the work with the school district.
That's what I was going to say. This sounds a lot like a true partnership. That's what we're trying to go beyond, just being a person who's involved with the school. We want a true partnership and collaboration.
I think I can provide a pretty good example now that I think about it. I mean, as you know, I worked in the grant early on, and had one of the LEAs had reached out to me kind of concerned, like, how do I, as far as the well-rounded educational opportunities, can you provide any suggestions of who I might contact? And I think together we came up with, this was Department of Juvenile Justice. So, I mean, these are kids who don't really have access to art. So the suggestion I gave and they followed up on was to reach out to a local nonprofit arts organization. Mm-hmm. And I think they actually, I don't know to what extent they've implemented it, but they began discussions about bringing in a person from this nonprofit to work with the kids on dance. So I thought that was a really good example of how the collaboration can go with a stakeholder in kind of out of the box ways. I mean, you would never think Department of Juvenile Justice, nonprofit dance company.
Right. Yeah, we don't think that connection is there, but this grant is kind of helping some of those connections form.
Right. And we're even seeing another great example where local housing authorities are being included in those conversations because they see these students outside of the school, after school, in their buildings, and they know what the students might need during those times. So another example of a great partner that school districts can include or think about when they are identifying the needs and the activities under this grant.
That's a neat idea. So actually the housing complex, the apartment complex, or whatever it is, they actually become a partner in implementing the supports and services there in the apartment complex.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about today with funding and collaborations. So may we invite you back to talk a little bit more next time about really dig into some of those services provided to kids. All right, sound like a plan, Mr. Nate?
Looking forward to it.
Excellent. So thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time.